It is a real pleasure on Static, onto SCR, to be joined from London by Cameron from Black Midi. How you doing?
Hey, thanks for having me. Pretty good.
I hope you would be. Yeah, congratulations on Cavalcade. It must be a total joy to get an album out.
Yeah, well, it was basically the fruits of our work for the last year or whatever. So it's nice to kind of have something to show for it.
And it's taken a twisted road in some ways too, this Black Midi album, Cameron, because it was a bit of a different way of working for you guys. The main change up being that your guitarist Matt sat this one out, so instead of just replacing him, you brought in a number of collaborators to augment your sound. So there were some different ways of getting this album over the line.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't really see the extra guys as replacement because we'd always planned before the pandemic and before 2020 or whatever to augment the sound with extra musicians on stage. We like had some shows planned where we were going to get like 4 or 5 extra musicians, and then we kind of ended up settling on the 2 for a tour we did just before lockdown. But yeah, it's just a kind of good way to expand the sound, and none of us can play saxophone very well or at all. And Geordie's a good keys player, but Seth is much better than any of us. It's just like getting people to do stuff that we could only hope of doing.
So touring that first album, were you looking around the big stages every now and then and thinking, I could really use a saxophone player or a keyboardist over my shoulder?
Not really. It was more just trying to like move on to the next thing, because I think like we got 2 years worth of play out of those songs, and we were just trying to like do something new and just making kind of a forced change, getting new guys in, whatever, is kind of always going to set your brain on like different paths of what actually you could do.
Yeah, I guess, Cameron, it must keep you on your toes. You have to be adaptable and able to play with others.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the whole thing of being a musician. You can't just kind of rest on the laurels of being able to play well with the 3 or 4 guys that you normally play. You have to kind of be able to play well with everyone.
And was the approach for getting these songs together different than it had been on Schlagenheim as well? Did last year mean that you were forced to do more things as individuals before you even sort of got the band together to work on the material?
Yeah, well, towards the end of 2019, we just got back from this tour in the US, and we'd been like touring pretty relentlessly for like 4 or 5 months. So we just said, all right, let's just take a month break, which turned into a lot longer than that because of the pandemic or whatever. But in that time, Geordie wrote that Ascending Fourth song and kind of brought through some old ideas that he'd had from like a long, long time ago. And then, yeah, like once lockdown happened, it wasn't really an option of doing it together. Like there were some no latency jam things online, but it just kind of...
Jamming online's no good, right?
Well, you kind of, it's not really a substitute from actually like being in the room with a person. So yeah, we just ended up the stuff that we were just making for fun anyway at home, that we just send to each other, and then some of that was like, oh, this is really good, let's do it. We'd always said we wanted it to be like an anything goes thing, and then we kind of just got caught up in our own like myth of being some like crazy noise rock band or whatever.
It does feel like an anything goes record, Cameron. You guys have doubled down on the naughtiness and trickery on this record. I mean, were you also emboldened by the reaction that you got to the first album, which on paper before its release probably wasn't going to be an easy sell, but people did really seem to get Schlagenheim, and did that kind of put some wind in your sails as well?
Yeah, I think it was good that it just received like international acclaim or whatever. Like it wasn't just the people that were coming to our shows in England and that kind of we knew would probably enjoy it anyway, because we'd been playing shows to them for like the last couple of years, but new people from like parts of the world that we'd never even been or like would never really hope to go really enjoyed it, which was cool. Just going to like Japan and Russia and LA and stuff, it's like, whoa, it was crazy.
And it's resulted in, there are some heavy duty Reddit discussions on Black Midi songs. Do you ever read any of that stuff?
No, I try not to, because you can just spend like hours and hours looking at it. It's like I could be doing something useful with my time.
Is it a bit like looking at conspiracy theories sometimes? You wonder where they get all these ideas from.
Yeah, I think sometimes there's people like will have theories about something that is like not there. It's like, oh, wow, they've done this, but it's not really the case.
There are plenty of detours on this Black Midi album too, Cameron. There are some real Afropop riffs and breaks on a song like Chondro Malacia Patella. And even on the flip side, Marlena Dietrich is this late night swoonsome jazzy croon. So were you sort of finding as a band that you could lean into a few different styles and genres as Black Midi?
Yeah, I mean, that was just the whole thing of getting back to that like anything goes sort of approach where there's not really any limits on like the kind of music we can make. And then the next record will be even more crazy.
So do songs go through a few different incarnations for something like Marlene Dietrich? Is there a rock version somewhere that you're working on before that? Or is there a jazz version? Like, do you do a few different takes of things?
Nah, but I reckon we'll do like a rock version for the tour. Because I think all the tracks are kind of the original versions from the demos and stuff. Because we all felt pretty strongly about the ideas. And then when we went to like record it properly, it was like, okay, what do we like from the demo? What do we not like from the demo? But now obviously touring and stuff, sometimes we'll have to do it as like a three, sometimes we'll be able to do it as a five. So like for the ones where we do it as a three, we'll just do like some crazy rock version of everything.
That must be good for you as well. Again, another thing of keeping you on your toes and making this material feel fresh to you.
Yeah, that was the fun thing about the last record. Towards the end, even though we kind of got a bit tired of some of the songs, just playing them three or four times a week, kind of just got a bit bored of them. But the funnest points of the touring of Schlagenheim or whatever was when we were able to like switch it up completely or just do like a different kind of set. Like we did two shows in Manchester and London with more like four on the floor electronic sort of vibe and like no stops between the songs and kind of rearranging the songs a lot. All that sort of stuff is kind of fun and just gives you an excuse to put the tracks in a new way.
And if you're running late, like if your stage time's going to get cut short, you can always do speed metal versions of the songs too.
Yeah, exactly. Don't worry, you'll be seeing that.
I'm also very pleased to see, Cameron, that you have kept your personal average up on this record. And like on Schlagenheim, you take the lead on two songs, the album Centerpieces, Slow and Diamond Stuff. And Slow is one of the more direct songs on Cavalcade. Lyrically, it's a rumination on time moving slowly, despite the music not doing that.
Yeah, that was a song like took a long time to... Well, the music took like a week to come together, which is kind of quite quick for us at least. And the lyrics took like 9 months.
So is the song literally about how long the lyrics took to write? Because there's that resigned line, I guess, I'll wait. Is that what you were doing, trying to think of some lyrics, Cameron?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say that. I kept changing my mind on what it was about because it was just over like a long, long period of time. It's one of those things like I could change like a word and completely change what the song's about or whatever. Sometimes it's like a sort of first thought, best thought vibe where like the thing that comes to your mind in the first place is the best thing to do. And that was what I was trying to do with that song. It didn't have lyrics or anything before we toured, I just made them up on stage. And then I was like, oh, well, just keep it going until I have something concrete. But then obviously the touring stopped.
And how long did it take for you guys in Black Midi to decide on the instruments you were going to use on this album, Cameron? I'm fascinated when I looked through the instruments list to see that there's a helicopter listed on John L. Now, is that a real-life helicopter somewhere in that song?
Yeah, we blew the like, whole marketing budget on it, basically.
Come on.
Well, most of the stuff was unplanned. It was just like what was in the studio at the time. The story with the helicopter is we were recording with Marta and we were doing Geordie's vocal take when there was just a point. While Geordie was doing the take, a helicopter flew over the studio, like right on top. So that's where you just get this really like sort of thing, which is pretty funny. And we're just kind of a good sound effect, sort of like riser to kind of transition to the next section or whatever.
So it was a completely unplanned flyover.
Yeah. Well, it worked out in our favor, I guess. It'd be funny if the pilot ever like works it out, but it might like it's nearly a year ago that session happened. So
I think it's also down to the obsessive Black Midi fan base to work out which make and model of a helicopter it is as well now.
Yeah, if there's we'll get the like raw file from Marta and see if they can work out from like the rotor speed.
If there's such a thing as a train spotter version of a helicopter fan, they might be on it.
Oh, there definitely is.
And it's been good to see in your wake, Cameron, there's been a real burgeoning scene of twisted post-rock and post-everything bands coming out of your neck of the woods since the last Black Midi album. And this year, we've had both Black Country New Road and Squid come along with their albums. So does it feel like there's a great vanguard following behind you guys now?
I mean, there's loads of good jazz stuff as well. There's like a whole range of stuff in between the kind of jazz and rock spectrum in London at the moment, straight up jazz stuff and then more fusion-y stuff. It's really good to have like a big community of musicians, kind of getting some sort of dues is always like nice.
And also getting immortalized in song, Cameron, because Black Country had track X on their album with the lyrics, "I told you I loved you" in front of Black Midi. Now, that is possibly the most romantic sentence ever written. Do you know, is that a true story? Did someone really get told they were loved in front of your band?
Yeah, I don't remember. I haven't spoken to Isaac about it, but I guess it depends if it's like, if he told her he loved her in front of us playing, or like us being there. I don't know. But if it was us playing, then we'd have no idea. Like, it could be true, you know.
I think you should get some t-shirts printed, you know. Black Midi is for lovers.
That's a good idea. We'll give you a commission on that.
I'll wait keenly for that. It is so great to have Cavalcade out and about, Cameron. We might have a listen to Hogwash and Balderdash right now. Here's hoping one way, one day, somehow, you can get Black Midi to Australia, because you still haven't been here.
Oh, yeah. Just open your borders.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll get to it. It was great to check in with you, and it's so good to have Cavalcade out. This is Hogwash and Balderdash now from Black Midi on Static. Thanks, Cameron.
No, thank you.